Are you ready for the word tonight? Praise you, Lord. It seemed like I had something else to mention, but I don't remember what it is. So we will move on. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Let me get my notes out here. Psalm 103. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." How many? "He healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now this is quite a passage. God said here He's got a set of benefits that we have a right to step into. And He said in those benefits He heals all of your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. It's amazing in here. Now, some of you were raised in church. You've never done a wrong thing in your life. But the majority of people in here had a past. Amen? And some of the things some of us did in the past, we can't even talk about publicly. Amen? The statute of limitations may not be expired yet. Amen? And some of you, if you gave the testimonies, people would say, like, what kind of a church have I stumbled into? Personally, I was raised as an atheist. And at an early age, in fact, my parents talk about me being drunk on a tricycle. I would sneak beers and get drunk and crash the tricycle on the wall and tip over and laugh. I was hooked on alcohol at a young age and was a drunk for pretty much 12 years. I mean, the longest I was sober for 12 years was 2 weeks and thought I would never be able to get off alcohol. And I wasn't one that, you know, couldn't hold a job, but I'm sure it was heading that direction. And, of course, got involved in drugs and running the bars and everything else for 10, 12 years as well. And so the night I got saved, July 1984, my wife and I got saved the same night, God's instantly delivered me from alcohol, drugs, and everything that went with that lifestyle. It was just gone. And God set me on a course to redeem my life from destruction. I was heading this direction. In fact, it was, you know, a parabolic curve, and I was about to go on a steep dive. And God had an intersecting course for my life called the blood of Jesus that hit that dive and instead brought it back up and way ascended, way beyond what I ever could have had before. He redeems your life from destruction. But doesn't just redeem it, He takes it above. Heals all your diseases. Listen, I was sick as much as anybody before I got saved. Not only that, I had usually the weekly hangover. And, you know, at that time, I would say it was frequent. I was pouring out an offering to the god Ra. You know the god Ra, the ceramic god Ra, where you hug ceramic god Ra and you go, "Ra!" You pour out an offering. Amen. A liquid oblation. And so would be sick from alcohol, if nothing else, and was hungover at work all the time. And yet God delivered me from all that. And now I don't have to be sick another day of my life. That's what the Word says, right? Now understand, if I was to be sick, don't lose hope, because Jesus is our example. The Word is the truth. But we're seeing we can walk in this thing. We can walk above poverty. We can walk above destruction. We can walk above, you know, the enemy even being able to depress us or discourage us or pull us down. We can walk on a highway of holiness where no devil in hell can ever control our life again. And He says, so much blessing is on your life. He says, I'll renew your youth like the eagles. I'll take back all the years you lost to the devil. Amen. And I'll give you long life and peace as well. So we're seeing here that God said He would heal all of our diseases. And we've been studying here. We're on a series on things that hinder your healing. We have found out we have a right to divine health. Oh, glory be to God. How many people do you think this church, now understand this isn't the whole church, how many people we have in the hospital today? Zero. How many people do we have in the hospital last week? Zero. Now occasionally somebody will go, right? But we've learned to access healing that it's far less than the average church. I mean a fraction of the average church. And when they go, they come out restored and whole and aren't there very long. And again, if you have to go to the hospital, there's no condemnation. Oh, I can't go to the hospital. It'll look back on the church. No, we're not tracking the numbers. Let the doctors do what they need to do. Amen. They're trained for their job, and you do what you're supposed to do, and together we'll step into the fullness of the healing power of God. Amen. And so we have a right to live above sickness. Live above pain. And I know that sounds crazy, but the way we access it is by faith. The Bible is the Word of God. Is that right? I mean, Jesus called it the Word of God, right? It's the inspired Word of God. Jesus said every jot and tittle is inspired of God and will be fulfilled. And because it's the Word of God, we know it's truth. And when God said you're healed, we know that we can bank our lives on that thing. And by saying you believe the Word and stepping out on it and refusing to speak anything other than what the Word says, you can access the healing power of God. And you don't have to be sick another day of your life. I want to ask you, this is a question for anybody that's been here, let's say more than a year. If you've been here more than a year, how many have seen your health go up since you've come here? Raise your hand. Well, let's just say since you've come, you've seen your health go up. Raise your hand. Some of you, I know what's happening. Is less than, look at this. And we could go on around here over and over with some of your testimonies that are beyond. And so we're looking at things. We find out if we'll believe and speak the Word of God, we can access divine healing, supernatural healing, and walk free of disease and sickness, right? But we're discovering there's some things that will hinder your ability to receive of the healing power of God. God said it's freely available. It's paid through Jesus by the whipping. He took it, you know, on the way to the cross. But even though it's free, the devil will try to stop you from receiving it. Amen. So we've been going through a list of some of the things that hinder it. The first one we looked at was just a lack of teaching on healing, a lack of knowledge. God said, what you don't know can kill you. Right? He said in Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So what we don't know, if we don't know how to access His power, we don't receive of it. So you go to most churches and they'll have one side of their bulletin clear full of all the people in the hospital. Pray for these people. And a church won't be much bigger than this one if it's is big. What's going on? They don't know something. There's hardly a person in here that has not been healed supernaturally since you've come in. That's the heart of God for His people. We just have to learn how to step into it. The second thing we looked at was a lack of faith. You can know that God wants to heal, but unless you get that Word down inside of you, you meditate the Scriptures, you let that Word become engrafted to you, until you do that, you won't have a faith foundation to access that healing from. And so it requires a determination to build your faith. I was in church for years before I learned that God wanted to heal me. I'd see healings and we'd teach that God healed, but we didn't know He always healed if you would receive it by faith. And then once I learned that He did heal by faith, if you could believe Him, it took me some time to build the promise into my life that I had a hold of it. All the way through slamming my head on the dash and, you know, the rest of the testimonies. To get free of the bombardments of the enemy. The third one we looked at were traditions. Jesus taught, He said, your traditions. He told the religious crowd, you know, the denominational people, your traditions are making the Word of God powerless. What would be some of the traditions? Well, you know, God just didn't heal anymore. That's a religious saying all through the churches, but it's not in the Word. It's not a verse in the Word that says God didn't heal anymore. In fact, the Scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes God heals, sometimes He doesn't. That's not what the Word says. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. They're guaranteed. So tradition makes people not be able to access the promises of God by faith. Amen. Or you don't deserve to be healed. Or God, here's one. God put the sickness on you to teach you a lesson. When Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you abundant life. Right? And so we find out that traditions, religious teachings that don't line up to the whole Word of God, keep people from accessing divine healing. And then last week, we threw in another one. Remember Jonathan and David in the covenant? And David was fleeing from Jonathan's father Saul, and he hid in the cave. And 400 mighty men joined him. At the time, they weren't mighty men. They were those in distress and despair and in debt. And they fled to David for some type of hope. And later, through years of following David, they became his mighty men. But we find that David had a particular covenant with Jonathan. In fact, they made the covenant really four times. We looked at that covenant being established. But because Jonathan would not separate from his father Saul, which was a type of religion, a type of denominational system, a type of just looking kingly but not having the anointing, because Jonathan would not separate from that system. He wanted to play it safe and stay in the castle, you know, stay behind the fortified walls. And he would not risk going out there in the wilderness with David. That at the end, Jonathan was killed along with his father Saul because he would not leave that system. Had he been willing to leave that system and follow David, he would have ended up being one of David's mighty men. The point of that being is, I see people come in here all the time and wanting healing, they go to other churches that are in a dead system. I'm not saying you got to go here. I'm just saying you got to be out of a dead system. Because the anointing flows from the head down. And if you're under a dead system, that limits the anointing. So with Jonathan and Saul and David, we have a type of a person that comes there, gets healed, and they go back to their dead church. And I've repeatedly seen people come in here and get a miracle and go back to their dead church and later lose the miracle because there was nothing to build them up in the Word to hold on to it. Of some major stuff. Amen. But when you stay under the spout where the glory comes out, you can stay inundated with the healing power of God. So we find that there's a necessity to get under the right covering system to access the full power of God to heal. A fifth one we want to look at is not taking care of your body. Decisions have consequences. You know, the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He gives His angels charge over me to bear me up in all my ways. But did you know if you go decide to jump off of a cliff with no parachute or trampoline or anything or water down below, it's probably going to hurt you? In other words, if you decide to jump off the edge of the Grand Canyon and you go in Jesus' name, no weapon formed against me prospers, He gives His angels charge over me to bear me up, and you're splat, splat. Or as in Roadrunner, poof. You're probably going to die. Because the Word, the promises of God, cannot properly operate when you're in direct rebellion against the rest of the counsel of God. Amen. You can't point a gun to your head, you know, full of bullets and say, no weapon formed against me it prospers, and pull the trigger and think you're going to live. The Holy Ghost is going to say, stupid idiot, what are you doing? I mean, you can live, are you following me? But it's going to hurt. In the same fashion, this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And there is a responsibility we have to take care of this body. I'm not saying you have to eat organic and nothing but twigs and sticks. My goodness, I'm the king of Little Debbie's. Little Debbie's and Frank's Donuts and Vienna sauces. Right now in my refrigerator is an open can of black pepper Spam. Amen. But I'm not living on Little Debbie's. So we're not like we're in this religious thing that, you know, we can't touch this stuff or God will get you. You ate a donut. No, we give away free donuts to the church every Sunday morning when you come in, if you get here on time, right? We're not trying to kill you. We're trying to bless you. Come in. Oh, donut, don't. You're trying to kill me. I thought this was a healing church. I'm talking about you going a diet of nothing but, you know, sugar. Or high fat, or, you know, you just eat until you nearly pop, it's going to have an impact on your health. Pastor Jack, pray for me. I've got diabetes, or I've got high blood pressure, or whatever. We'll pray. But there may be a dealing of God in your life to adjust your diet. Amen. There is a saying that exercise cannot overcome bad eating habits. You can't out-exercise eating everything you want to. I tried. It didn't work. Actually, I just ate everything one. I skipped the exercise because I knew it wouldn't work. And so you have a responsibility to nurture this body to some level, to step into the healing power of God. Do you follow me? I'm not saying a perfect diet. I don't eat anything non-fat. Amen? I believe non-fat is a term from the pit of hell. Patty brought some non-fat stuff in the house a few times. I said, don't ever put that in my food again. Fat-free sour cream. What's the point? Tasted like fat-free cream cheese. It tasted like plastic. So I don't call them fat grams, I call them taste grams. And so you can love to eat. I enjoy eating. Amen. But make sure that you don't let your food intake get in the way of the healing flow of God in your life. Now listen, if you've made some mistakes eating in the past, God will heal you. Amen. But He may then call you to make some adjustments. His mercies are new every morning. Do you follow me? And so, as much as you would want to, you cannot live on ice cream and Frank's Donuts. You're going to need some vitamins and nutrients and protein. And other such. Amen. Much of what you're in, you know, M&Ms. Just kidding. So make sure you get the right food and get the right rest. This body can only handle so much stress and strain on it. Jerry Savelle one time was praying to God. And he says, God, I really want more anointing on my life. I think it was Jerry. And God said, I can't give you any more anointing. He said, why? He says, your body's too far to shape. It would kill you. So he had to get control of the eating and the exercise to step into more anointing. Unless you've been there, you may not realize how much of a toll the anointing can take on you in ministry. You get under a heavy ministry of anointing, when it lifts, you can feel spent. That's why a lot of times Monday morning, they have a saying called Blue Monday for anointed ministers. Because it's almost like a crash off of a drug on Monday. You were so high on Sunday on it, and you come down. But you learn how to stay filled. That doesn't happen. Amen. So I don't have any Blue Mondays. But they used to refer to that. The people would get under the anointing and minister, didn't know how to stay filled, and they'd have... Well, see, that has a toll on your physical body. So there's a need to rest, eat right, and stay filled up spiritually. Amen. Number five. This is an interesting one. Number six, actually. Unbelief in those that are praying for you. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. The first word is death, not life. Life precedes death. The curses in the world, the natural flow of events in your life is the curse, is death. But when you get control of what you say, you can turn death around by the power of the tongue and access life. Amen. But Jesus made it clear there's power in what you say. You can command a mountain to be thrown in the sea and it'll obey you if you believe and doubt not. Right? So there's power in words. He also said this. In fact, let's go there. I believe it's Matthew chapter 18. This is one of Jean's favorite verses. She quotes all the time. Of course, she's a Bible thesaurus anyway, or a concordance. I'm so impressed by Jean. Jean is now 81. I know you, everybody thought you were 65. Almost everything, see, here she goes. Everything comes out of her mouth is word. It's word. And at 81, when a lot of people are falling apart, she's built up in the word. There's no falling apart in her life. The word. I show Patty pictures all the time of people I graduated with. I said, they're younger than me. She's going, do what? I look pretty good for 93. If I was that old, right? The word will sustain you. Now, Matthew chapter 18, have you got it? Jesus says in verse 18, for verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's the power of your words, the authority we've been given. Verse 19 says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now he says, if two of you shall agree, it'll be done. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. The word makes it clear there's power in a prayer of agreement. And Jesus said, whatsoever. Say whatsoever. Whatsoever you agree on, it'll be done. Because you have power to bind and to loose. And it doesn't say you only have power to bind and loose that which is good. You can loose that which is bad. It's really one aspect of what witchcraft is loosing that which is bad. So if you're getting people to pray with you who don't believe like you believe, they're going to start praying like this. In fact, I need an example. Come here, Mike. Now, you're a faith person. Ask me to pray with you.
Please pray with me.
Oh, well, let's hold hands. Oh, Jesus, Father, if it be thy will, heal this man. And I know the wrong things he's done in the past, but let your merciful hand stretch upon him. And if there be any ounce of mercy in thee, touch his life and deliver him just an ounce from this, from an ounce of this pain. And Father, deliver his soul from torment of hell once he dies from this debilitating disease.
I'm not feeling the anointment. I'm not feeling it.
Now you're laughing, but that really lines up very close to how most Christians pray for healing. And it's always, if it be thy will, why would it not be thy will for somebody to be healed? It's always God's will to heal. Jesus healed them all. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He never put sickness on anybody. Yet Christians are praying these traditional, stupid prayers. Oh God, reaches forth thy mighty hand, and if thou wast couldest, touchest just a hairest of his headest, thou wast could makest him wholest. Because somehow adding the us on everything makes it more spiritual. And you're getting people to pray with you that don't even believe. In fact, what's happening is you'll get a group to pray with you. You know, get the prayer circle at church. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about a church that is full of unbelievers. You say, let's pray. And they're all going, oh, we pray, God, you heal him. Oh, God, move and touch his life. And when you break up and they're leaving, they're walking together. They're saying, he's going to die. I've never known anybody to live from that. Did you hear what he said he had? My uncle had it, and he didn't live more than 3 days once he had those symptoms. And I'm telling the truth. So even though they got in a prayer, what looked like of a prayer of agreement, they're not in agreement because they don't believe it. So understand, it's not just your words in a prayer circle that carry authority. It's all your words. So when they walk away saying they're going to die, guess what? You've invited somebody to curse you. That's why I don't even want people to know I have any kind of infirmity in my body. Because they're just talking about how it's going to take me down. That's why. Listen to me. You do what you want to do. And there are many people do what I'm about to say I would never do and will never do. I do not believe in phone prayer chains. Unless the people on the other end, faith. I don't believe in posting what you're going through on Facebook and say, people pray for me. Because you got everybody on Facebook, all your 3,000 friends going, he's going to die. There's not two or three gathering. There's 3,000 disagreeing.
Yeah.
And you've got all those voices out there carrying their level of authority against you. So I don't tell anybody I have situation in my physical body, unless it's people of faith. I may tell you, I told you a testimony about my teeth. That's been, a month ago, more? I'm still pain-free. No pain. Zero pain. Speaking over the situation, amen? Waiting for full restoration, but I'm pain-free. And when I have a really serious situation, in fact, there's a group of us, Pastor Sherry, Pastor Jim, Pastor Callum, Pastor myself, Pastor Lee. When we really have something, we call each other. And it goes no further. Amen. That's why when Pastor Lee was in the hospital, they made a list of allowable visitors. His wife did. And it was only myself and Pastor Callum and some others who were allowed to come in. Of course, his kids and one or two other family members, but we're the ones that were allowed to come in and really minister to him. Because she didn't want all these religious people coming and speaking the curse. Well, I heard everybody's ever had this is either dead or in a vegetative state. Lord, do what you can, but he's going to die. So I'm trying to give you a heads up. You have something you're going through physically. Find somebody of equal faith or come to your pastor or, somebody that moves in the healing power of God. Get them to pray with you. Don't announce it publicly. That's my personal opinion. Now, those out there that are in revival, they have something going on. They put it on Facebook. Put it up publicly. I do not feel comfortable with that. Not to mention all the people you then have to explain it to and, how you doing? You're still alive. I thought you'd be dead by now. Amen. So unbelief in those that are praying for you. Do you remember when Jesus went to minister to the girl that had died? And He put everybody out of the house? Amen, except Peter, James, and John, the three. He got rid of the unbelievers. Didn't even take the other nine in with Him. Just took the three He felt could somewhat agree with Him. And you want to develop the same type of a mindset. Guard your faith hedge. Number 7. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy were last instructions before Israel was about to go in and take the promised land. And it says in verse 1, "And it shall come to pass if," everybody say if. What does if mean? It means there's conditions. It means it's a conditional statement. We talk about in computer logic, back when I used to do that, that if was a conditional statement. Right? And so, if thou shalt hearken diligently, not perfectly, but consistently, if you'll listen to God, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do His commandments for all that He tells you to do, right, by the Holy Spirit now, I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And he goes through verse 14, listing all these blessings of following God. You understand that? So the blessing comes on those that will diligently follow the leading of God in their life. And part of the blessing is healing. Right? Forget not of all of His benefits, right? A major part of His blessing is His healing power. But there's a need to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. This is the seventh one I'm talking about. Is another hindrance to healing is disobedience to God. I'm not talking about perfect obedience. Are you following? I'm talking about a diligent lifestyle of following Him. And if you have a lifestyle of just doing your own thing and you're not led of the Spirit, you really don't know the voice of God, sickness will tear you up. Because here's much of how it works. God has a set plan for your life, a path He wants you to follow. We've been teaching on the path Sunday mornings, right? He's got a path for you to follow. And on that path are all the blessings of God. Divine healing, divine protection, divine prosperity, your marriage blessed, your children blessed, your calling fulfilled, everything you need. I mean, joy unspeakable, full of glory. Everything you need is on that path as you proceed down it. But if you get to doing your own thing and, you know, you don't need a church, you don't need a pastor, you don't need a tithe, you can do your own thing, you're not going to separate any at all from the world, you start to set your own course, you're walking on a path where now the intersection, the blessings of God are no longer intercepting your path. You were supposed to be over here where the blessing is, but you're over here doing your own thing. And sickness is lying outside of the path, ready to overtake you. Sickness, lack, curse, discouragement are all outside the path. Remember, we've been talking about Sunday mornings. I'll talk about it again Monday night. There's a path, the Word says, where the fowl and the young lions and the vultures cannot get to you. The enemy can't touch you, right? Which includes divine healing. But you've got to have this relationship with God. Now understand, you come into church, my goodness, how many times do we see this happen? We call it honeymoon blessings. Somebody comes into the church first, you know, the first time, you know, or the first few times, and God does everything for them, like He did me. Delivers them from drunkenness and stupidity and, you know, heals their body. And so many times people come in, they've never been to church before, to this church, you know, this church anywhere. And they come in and God heals them on the spot. And there's somebody else that's been fighting the same type of affliction for 2 years, and God heals this newcomer the first time. We call it honeymoon blessings. And it's God showing His ability to bless them, but then He expects them to get on the path. To learn to get on the path and align your life with the Word. And fortunately for me, this is not me bragging on me, this is what God did in me. The day I got saved, that night, from that day forth, I poured myself into the Word of God. I'm not talking about reading a devotional, I'm talking about hours and hours a day. For years, my wife was almost a word widow. I'd come home from work, go in the bedroom, get into bed with my Bible, and I'd read for hours. Why? God did something in me, I'm sure aligned with the call, and put that heart in me for the Word. But guess what? It kept me on the path for my life. And God's got a path for your life, and once He shows Himself real to you, once He exposes Himself to you, there's now a requirement in your life to say, okay, God, You showed Yourself real. Now show me how to follow You with all of my life. Amen. But disobedience to God's drawing on you, whether a new believer or whether you've been saved for 50 years, disobedience to God will take you on a veering path away from the blessing. Next thing you know, you're experiencing symptoms you did not experience before. Amen. Which I'll go ahead and throw this one as well. Another thing that makes you weak in healing is you can be in the call of God but not keep yourself spiritually filled. You don't keep your spiritual momentum up. You don't stay in a lifestyle of word and prayer. Then what happens is your spiritual batteries get weak and all of a sudden sickness tries to overtake you. So there's a need to be doing what God would have you do, following Him. And part of that following is reading the Word and praying when He leads you into it. Developing a disciplined lifestyle of Word and prayer. I'm not talking about hours a day. I'm just talking about where you're staying connected to the Word and prayer. You're following God with your life. Amen. And you pray in tongues a lot. And He fills you where the devil cannot get to you with a lot of this stuff. Really, you stay filled enough, He can't touch you at all. Do you see this? Number 8. Turn to Galatians. Chapter 5. Let me throw something in again on that last one. When you get off the path God has for you, one, you'll be missing the intersecting point with the blessing, but also, when you're not following God, are you listening? When you're not following God with your life, then you will be battling condemnation. If you're a Christian, if you're disobeying God, you're going to fight condemnation. And I don't care how much hyper grace teaching you've heard, you're going to fight it. And condemnation neutralizes faith. You're trying to access divine healing, but because you feel condemned, because you've not been following God whatsoever, you feel like you don't deserve the healing, you can't access it by faith, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're succumbing to the symptoms. A side issue to that is if you are following after God, don't let the devil tell you that you deserve the symptoms and have to keep them because you didn't follow God perfectly. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for attitude and direction. Amen. And so, disobedience will bring condemnation on your life. Another thing that will happen is when you get off the path, there's a good chance you may start sowing the wrong seeds. I was a drunk, as I said, for 12 years. And for 12 years, I believe God sheltered my life to some level. The devil couldn't kill me because of the call that he had. You follow me? But I also believe that if I was to go back to drinking, Elizabeth Smithers says the brain is rewired. It's wired for relapse. If I was to return to drinking, say, well, I guess the grace of God's on my life and I can drink if I want to, I believe there's a good chance it would take me down rapidly. Why? Because you go back to what God delivered you from, like the dog returns to his vomit. Guess what? Things are going to have access to your life. You start disobeying God with drugs or alcohol or, you know, promiscuity, whatever. Don't be surprised if you end up carrying some bugs you shouldn't have had. Amen. Not to mention your life is in jeopardy with some of that. It's best to follow God and stand recovering. Not trying to scare you. Trying to tell you how the system works. Galatians chapter 5, have you got it? Verse 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Another hindrance to healing is a lack of love. It says your faith is energized, worketh, is energized. It's energized, it's motivated, it's activated by love in your life. And even though you're saved, you decide to live like as a mean-spirited, hard-hearted, unforgiving individual, it's going to have an impact on your health. Because there's no love igniting, energizing your faith to receive of the healing power of God, it will hinder how much healing you can step into. Amen. So there is a necessity to go after the love of God. I'm convinced as the love of God is poured out in these end times, it will elevate us totally above any form of sickness or pain. But if you choose to stay self-centered, self-focused, full of pride, full of jealousy, full of anything opposing love, it's going to work against you. You understand, to access the healing power of God, it's a lifestyle. So many people just want healing. Well, I just, you know, it says go have them lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Yes, I understand that word. But it also requires a lifestyle of following God. Do you remember? I believe it was the leper came to Jesus. And he healed the leper and he says, now go and sin no more. Why? You don't want it? He said, lest the worst thing come upon you. There's a need now that you've received with the blessing to stay in the path God has for you, to stay with it. If you start living, you know, self-focused and self-centered, the opposite of love, it's gonna deactivate some of the healing power in your life. Number 9. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Of them that diligently seek him, right? You must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder. Now, it's interesting in this passage. Apostle Callan preaches this in this fashion. This verse left off, it's got a noun, a subject, right? It's got a subject, it's got a verb, but there is no direct object in that passage, that first part of it. It says, you must believe that God is. Amen. There's no direct object. Is what? It's whatever you believe he is. Whatever promise you can pull out of the word and believe he is. He's a rewarder of it. If you believe he's the healer and you diligently seek him for it, you can access healing power. He's the healer. If you believe he's the rewarder and you sow your life into following God in that fashion, guess what? He will reward you. But it says those that diligently seek him. This next hindrance to healing is a lack of diligently seeking. And it involves a half-hearted effort. to access the healing power of God. So you're believing God to heal you from some sickness, and you say, well, I've got my confession card, and you grab it one day. Well, it says here, by His stripes I was healed. I just believe I'm healed. And you throw the card down, you do nothing else. That was not diligence. That was not confrontation. I'm telling you, you want to step into any kind of major healing power, there will be a confrontation between you, the flesh, and the devil. You and those symptoms, you spirit man confronting physical symptoms and the devil trying to tell you that you're going to die, and you're going to have a confrontation where you speak the word and override those physical ailments. Again, slamming your head on the dash, stomping around with your back screaming, getting out of bed when you feel like you're going to die with the flu, whatever. There's a diligence required many times to confront these things. I'm going to say something. I hope you'll get what I'm about to say. Faith is not lazy. And it cannot be fully activated lazily. For example, let's say that I'm putting $10,000. Well, let's make it $1,000. Have you ever been so sick you'd give $1,000 to be healed? I have. I would have given $100,000 to be healed of migraines. Easy. I'd have vowed it. Didn't have it, I'd have vowed it. But let's say there's $1,000 up on the stage. And I say, China, there's $1,000 up there. It's yours. Go get it. And she does this. $1,000, huh? I could use $1,000. It'd be nice. It'd be nice to have $1,000. And she's sitting right there. She can see it. And she goes, well, I get to it when I can, but, you know, I got these other chores I got to do, and I'll get to that. Where am I going from there to there? Now, most of you, $1,000 would be enough motivation. You'd be out of your chair running. Like she just said she would do. I got that one ball, pal. Especially if I said first one to get it gets it. We'd see Robert move fast. Amen. We'd see what Tom could do. Amen. Alma would go after it and Robert would lay defensive blocks. Get it, hun. I'll hold everybody else up. You would run to that. Why? Because you saw it was yours, it belonged to you, it was given to you, and you were after it. Yeah, we treat God's healing promises like, well, I'll speak that word when I can, and I'll meditate these verses, list those tapes when I get a chance, and you know, I just feel too bad right now to do that, and you're not going to get it. I shouldn't say you're not too. It's going to limit how much you can step into it. Because faith is aggressive. I mean, faith. Let's go to Matthew 11. Look at this. I believe it's Matthew 11. If not, we'll find it. It's not in my notes here, so sometimes we have to guess. Take guesstimates. There it is, Matthew 11. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Now, do you understand you're already a member of the kingdom of heaven if you're born again? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And what do we learn the forces we take the promises by? Faith. The force is your faith you grab the things of God with. So faith is violent. Faith attacks symptoms. When the devil tells you that you can't afford, you know, to pay your tithe or sow a seed, faith says, you stupid devil! I can afford double tithe this week, or watch this, I'll pay the tithe and I'll sow this seed too. Try to tell me what I can't do, you stupid lack. when physical, I know how I am with physical symptoms. If pain hits my body, I don't play with it. You can ask my wife. I'll shout in the house, Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'll start kicking or whatever. If a pain hits my leg, I'm kicking. I'm not well. I guess I'll take care of this when I get to church next Tuesday or when, you know what. Sunday morning, I'll have pastor pray for me. No. Faith attacks the efforts of the adversary to dispossess what belongs to you. Dispossess you from it. Right? And so lazy faith doesn't grab a hold of much at all. God's trying to pass you the baton and you go, okay. It's already on the ground. God's moving fast. And you got to be willing to let your faith chase the blessing of God. Amen. You got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone to do it. Praise you, Jesus. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to cover one more. I've only got 300 of these. Just kidding. I've got 16 actually, so we're about halfway. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, pages turn. Verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not," say look not, "we look not at the things which are seen." Do you understand symptoms or things that are seen? "We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal," temporary, subject to change. "But the things which are unseen are eternal." Amen. Established in the heavens. So, here the word says, don't look at the seen. Here's another hindrance to your healing. Continually looking at the symptoms. You know, your arm's hurting. So, Father, I thank that you heal me right now. In Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord God. And you go like, oh, it's still hurting. Oh, Father, I pray again. I just thank you that you heal me. I receive your healing right now. I thank you, Father, I receive it now. In Jesus' name, I know you've already healed me. And you look at it and you keep looking at the symptoms. Now, it's okay to test the symptoms to see if you're healed. Are you following me? To give God the praise. Or even to stretch it and say, I refuse this pain to be in my body. But here's what people do with it. Father, I just receive your healing promise right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that you've healed my arm. And you go, I guess it didn't work. When you let the symptoms dictate whether you're healed or not, will cause you to dig up your seed. It'll cause you to speak contrary to the promises. So you never let the symptoms dictate whether or not you've received the healing power of God or not. Do you follow me? It's okay to see if it hurts, but don't let whether it hurts or not dictate what comes out of your mouth. And here's how I like to say this. If you were in a car accident and died, and you're born again full of the Holy Ghost going after God, do you believe you go to heaven? What if instead in the car wreck, you were thrown out of the car, you broke both legs and both arms, you're lying there in major pain, and then you died, would you go to heaven? You mean the pain didn't change whether or not you went to heaven or not? So the pain did not dictate whether or not the promise of salvation or eternal salvation to you was true or not? Then why would the pain dictate whether the promise of God to heal you is true or not? Pain does not mean the promise is not true. It's a temporal sign you've not fully stepped into it yet, but it doesn't change that God's already healed you. And you don't let the pain doesn't tell you that you're not healed. It tells you to keep keep standing. Keep declaring. Keep acting on it. So I understand this is an extensive list, and you go through this, you might think, well, I can't be healed. How are you ever going to be healed if those are all things that will deactivate your healing? Well, you learn to just grab a hold of it by faith and cut out anything else that would try to block it. These are just things that try to slip in. Little foxes try to slip in, steal it from you. We have a right to live pain-free. Praise you, Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause us to rise and be end-time people. Blessing. Draw on each of us to follow you fully. Step into your perfect will. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing. We'll see you.